Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, the 31st of January, 2026. This is Andrew and the other readers are Graham and June from Team 4 and Heather, who's one of DTN's relief readers and joins us today. The editor is Mary. DTN sponsors for this week are Neptune Heating and Plumbing. Whatever heating or plumbing services you may need, speak to the experts. Call Neptune Heating and Plumbing on 01442 737 916. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise, and the headlines this week are On the Verge of a Parking Solution, PM Gets Warm Welcome, Adult Social Care Fee Rise, Launch of Bus Service, and Charity Gets Brewery Boost. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Heather. The first 15 streets in Decorum that are set for changes to address verge parking have been revealed by the Borough Council. The verges on problem streets will be strengthened or paved to avoid issues including damage to grass and obstructions to pedestrians and vehicles. Around 100 streets were looked at by council officers to assess whether they should be prioritised for action, and a final shortlist of 15 has been drawn up. Those streets will now go into the first feasibility and delivery stage. The chosen streets in order of priority are Quince's Croft, Bennett's End Close, Belsize Road, Maple Green, Datchworth Turn, Manley Road, Leven Way, Rayburn Road, Barnacres Road, Hitchens Close, Dagsdell Road, Micklem Drive, Fennycroft Road, Clover Way and Lohman Road. Streets were selected based on criteria including current parking levels, the environmental impact of verge hardening, anticipated support from residents and whether there are any unused parking spaces nearby. Councillor Robin Bromham, portfolio holder for neighbourhood operations, told a Decorum Borough Council committee meeting, "We've seen a lot of damage to verges, parking congestion, and we get obstruction of pavements and roads. Disabled residents can't get about. Verges have become quagmires, and bin lorries have missed collections. Although it really pains me to be tarmacking or putting permeable hard surfaces where we had nice green space before, I think for the quality of life of our residents, we do actually need to implement this as an interim measure." He continued, "The long-term solutions really have to be about the reduction of reliance on cars, because this won't do that to the extent that is really needed. We need active and sustainable travel and localised facilities as much as possible in terms of school and work." Councillor Bromham stressed the importance of selecting sites for verge hardening objectively rather than through an ad hoc lobbying process, as he suggested had previously been the case. According to a council officer, it is hoped that the first 15 streets selected for verge hardening can be completed by the end of this summer, and that a total of between 25 and 30 streets can be completed by 2028. When Decorum Borough Council is set to be abolished and replaced by a new unitary council. A total of £1.21 million is available from the council's capital budget for the scheme, with a previous verge hardening programme suggesting an average cost per street of around £30,500. An officer said that any street costing £70,000 or more to complete would be subject to additional cost-benefit analysis to decide whether it should proceed.
Hello, I'm Graham. Keir Starmer visited Decorum on Thursday to meet with a local community group as scrutiny over his relationship with Donald Trump increases. Mr. Starmer visited Flaundon Village Hall in Birch Lane while the national media was focused on his strained relationship with the US President. Labour's leader was pictured speaking to Hertfordshire residents and giving a speech to the community group. Mr. Starmer visited Harts to discuss the launch of the government's new warm homes policy designed to lower household bills through sustainable options. It was revealed that £15 million will go towards the scheme over a five-year period. Called the Warm Homes Plan, it is designed to enable more households to add solar panels and other green technologies to their properties. According to the Hertfordshire Advertiser, Mr. Starmer told the room, "The best example of this I can give you is from this village hall right here. A woman I was talking to over there, who lives within walking distance of this village hall, she's got an end of terrace house. She's had solar panels and heat pumps put in, and she told me that's reduced her energy bill by 75% and increased the value of her home by £90,000. After delivering an explosive speech in Davos, Switzerland at the World Economic Forum, President Trump said the UK government's decision to give sovereignty of the Chagos Islands to Mauritius was an act of total weakness. He said in a post on social media site Truth Social, "Shockingly, our brilliant NATO ally, the United Kingdom, is currently planning to give away the island of Diego Garcia, the site of a vital US military base, to Mauritius, and to do so for no reason whatsoever. There is no doubt that China and Russia have noted this act of total weakness. These are international powers who only recognise strength, which is why the United States of America, under my leadership, is now, after only 1 year, respected like never before. The UK giving away extremely important land is an act of great stupidity and is another in a very long line of national security reasons why Greenland has to be acquired." Downing Street representatives have said the criticism has not caused a change in policy and the government intends to carry out the transfer.
Hello, this is Jean. County Council chiefs in Hertfordshire are set to review charges for adult social care as part of a drive to increase income by £10 million. Officials say the authority is facing unprecedented demand driven by the county's growing and ageing population, and providing those services in 2026/27 is expected to account for almost half of the County Council's £1.2 billion services budget. The County Council as a whole will have to make £55 million of savings from its services budget to balance the books in 26/27. And the draft budget includes proposals to increase the income from the delivery of adult social care services by £10 million. Part of that £10 million would be as a result of inflationary increases to existing fees and from the growing number of residents accessing care. But around £2 million, according to the budget document, is expected to come from additional income. That includes increases that are over and above standard income inflation, and from a further review of areas within the remit of the charging policy. Leader of the County Council, Councillor Steve Jarvis, stresses that those who are not eligible to pay for their care will still be exempt. He says it is right that those who can pay a charge that covers the cost of the care that they receive. But he says that currently the charges do not always cover the cost of the service residents received. Many people are required by law to pay the cost of their care, Councillor Jarvis told the local Democracy Reporting Service. And it's important that people who should be making a contribution are making the right contribution. Executive Member for the Resources and Performance, Councillor Chris Lucas, also stresses that costs will not be increased for or imposed on those that cannot afford them. But he says residents who can afford it should be paying the appropriate price. According to the budget proposals, which will be considered by the County Council next month, February, the Council plans to allocate £563 million to adult care services in 2026/27. That's £23 million more than the last year. And speaking at the latest meeting of the Council's Cabinet on January the 14th, Executive Member for Adult Care Services, Councillor Sally Symington, welcomed the budget proposals.
A new bus route has been launched in Hertfordshire and it'll provide transport for people around the Hemel Hempstead area. Hertfordshire County Council announced the launch of the Hearts Links Mainland Link, which will operate as an hourly service between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Starting from Monday, January the 26th, it will transport people between Hemel Hempstead Railway Station, the Marlows and the Maylands Business Park. Hertfordshire County Council advises that the service will be paused for an hour between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. for a driver turnover. Funding for the scheme has come from Section 106 payments from developers building properties in the Decorum area. This service has been created to improve connections for workers and visitors travelling to and within the Maylands employment area. It's hoped that the service will provide an accessible and affordable transport alternative for people working in Hemel Hempstead. Bookings for the Hearts Links Mainland Link will work in the same way as the existing Hearts Links service. As an on-demand service, the bus will only operate when bookings are made. Councillor Paul Zukowski said, "This partnership demonstrates how effective joint working can deliver real benefits for residents and businesses. The Hearts Links Mainland Link is an important step for improving connections for one of our busiest employment areas in Hertfordshire. By offering more sustainable travel choices, we're supporting local growth while helping to reduce congestion and carbon emissions." More details on the bus service can be found via Intalink, that's intalink.org.uk/heartslinks, all one word, HERTSLYNX. Hearts Links services have been operating in Hertfordshire in recent years and allow residents to use virtual bus stops to arrange more convenient pickup points for journeys.
Tring Brewery will raise funds and awareness for Berkhamsted and District Community First Responders throughout 2026. The Community First Responders, or CFRs, scheme was established in 1994, training volunteers to attend local emergency calls, offering life-saving care in the vital minutes before an ambulance crew arrives. Tring will be joining forces with local branch Berkhamsted and District CFR, who were established in 1998 and are trained by the East of England Ambulance Service NHS Trust, or EEAST. Tring Brewery will produce monthly special beers to raise awareness for the local CFR group and plans to host unique fundraising events throughout the year. Each monthly beer will enjoy namesake and imagery inspired by health services, finished with a roundel design which has been based on the local CFR branch. Ales set to feature include Shock Horror, brewed for Halloween, and a quaffable Christmas tipple titled Holly and the IV. Covering Tring, Northchurch, Berkhamsted and surrounding villages for approximately 10 miles, Berkhamsted and District CFRs are on call for an average of 15 to 20 hours per week, responding to at least one call out per week per volunteer. Aiming to provide support 365 days a year, volunteers also work to raise funds for the cause and offer DFIB first aid instructional courses for groups in the local area. Peter Bryant, volunteer first responder and spokesperson at Berkhamsted and District CFR, said, "We are delighted and grateful that Tring Brewery has chosen to partner with us. Their support will significantly improve our ability to have more of our volunteers on call more often, affording vital early medical assistance. This partnership is a brilliant example of a key local business brewing up something special for the community. The East of England Ambulance Service charity relies on the generosity of supporters to go above and beyond what NHS funding can provide. Funds generated through the partnership could go towards vital emergency response kits equipped with monitoring and treatment equipment, defibrillators, as well as communication and navigation devices. Donations to the charity help to care for volunteers, staff, patients, and communities across the East of England, enabling vital work that simply wouldn't happen without the backing of public fundraising. Jared Ward, communications at Tring Brewery, is excited to kickstart the project. Jared comments, "The Tring Brewery team are thrilled to partner with our local CFR group, supporting volunteers who are quite literally life-saving. Talks with the group were established through local CFRs, who just so happened to be patrons of the brewery. The brewery's collaborative monthly ales, starting with Ambrulance, will be available on draft from local pubs and their Dunsley Farm brewery shop. Details for brewery members' nights, Toadfest, and further activities will be announced via Tring Brewery's social media and newsletter channels throughout the year."
Victoria Collins, MP for Harpenden and Berkhamsted, and Daisy Cooper, MP for St Albans, have criticised the government's new water white paper, warning it fails to deliver the fundamental change needed to protect local waterways. Responding to the government's announcement, the Hertfordshire MPs have echoed the concerns of Lib Dem Environment spokesperson Tim Farron, arguing that the proposals pull their punches and do not go far enough to stop sewage dumping. Ms Collins said, "People across Harpenden, Berkhamsted, Tring and our villages are simply fed up with empty promises while our precious local environment is ravaged by corporate greed. Thames Water pumped over 3,000 hours of sewage into the River Wirth from January last year, one of our four rare chalk streams that should be treasured and protected. We need a complete overhaul of how our waterways are regulated and run. The Liberal Democrats are calling for a new ownership model where water companies are mutually owned by customers and professionally managed, not run for shareholder profit. The public are being kept in the dark about the true scale of pollution in our rivers. We're calling on the government to force water companies to publish the volume of sewage dumped, not just duration, because we cannot end this scandal without reliable data to hold them accountable." Ms Cooper said, "I've spent years urging successive governments to tackle the sewage spills polluting the River Wirth. I was pleased to meet with the flooding minister last year to discuss my bill to force water companies to prioritise pipe upgrades in chalk stream areas. I'm grateful that she's now written to water companies asking them to do just this, but it's deeply frustrating it has taken 6 months and only happened after I chased a number of times. We can't afford half measures. The government must pull out all the stops to protect our precious chalk streams."
Hemel Hempstead History Society is asking people with an interest in Hemel's history to join them in 2026 and help explore and promote Hemel's rich and varied history. We had an excellent year in 2025 and our monthly talks and events were well attended. The marking out and tours of the Gadebridge Roman Villa as part of Heritage Open Days was probably the highlight, with over 300 local people taking part, said Society Chairman Mike Atkins. "We have plans to do much more in 2026, but we'd like local people to join us," said Mike. Hemel Hempstead's Roman past, the town during the English Civil Wars, Polish Second World War codebreakers working in and around Hemel, and the medieval Pickett's End wall paintings all feature in the Society's 2026 programme of talks announced this week. Talks about the Geoffrey Jellicoe Water Gardens, Hemel's watercress industry, our ancestors' entertainment and pastimes, and the history of policing in Hertfordshire complete the programme. "Our programme of talks highlights Hemel's rich history and spans a period from when the Romans invaded and settled in Hemel to the present day," said Mike Atkins. "Hemel's Polish World War II codebreakers and the town's Civil War connections. Who knew World War II Polish codebreakers were based in and around the town, or the role the town and Hertfordshire played in the English Civil Wars? And the story of the 16th century wall paintings is truly fascinating," commented Mike. In addition to a full programme of talks, the local History Society will organise another series of visits to buildings and historic locations in and around Hemel as part of the Heritage Open Days Festival, held each year in September, and they aim to extend their activities further still. Get involved. For more information about the Hemel Society and the details of how to join, visit their Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/Hemel History, or contact the Society Secretary, Alan Olive, at alan_olive@hotmail.com. Membership is just £20 for the year. The first meeting in 2026 will be on Wednesday, the 25th of February at 8 p.m. at Carey Baptist Church Hall in Marlowe's. All welcome.
A suspected drug driver who was arrested in the Hemel Hempstead area is suspected of committing four crimes. On Saturday evening, January the 24th, police officers halted a vehicle that was linked to a failure to stop incident committed earlier this month. The motorist was pulled over on the M1 in Hemel Hempstead and arrested on suspicion of committing four different crimes. The Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Roads Policing Unit revealed the driver, whose identity has not been announced, is suspected of driving while disqualified, being in possession of cannabis, driving while under the influence of drugs, and driving without insurance. It's also been confirmed that the driver was charged and is due to appear in court. His vehicle was seized and remains in police possession.
A foster parent has shared her story of swapping a corporate career to assisting vulnerable children in Hemel Hempstead. Shirley Winterburn and her husband Paul have been fostering for a Hertfordshire-based company and are sharing their story in the hope of inspiring others. They work with ISP Fostering, which has been finding placements for children in Hemel Hempstead since 2021. Shirley and Paul are currently looking after two boys who are not related. Shirley believes her career gave her the transferable skills to foster. She said, "I'm an unusual foster parent because I come from the corporate world when so many foster parents don't. I used to be a people manager, so I've always been very hands-on, knowing how to get the best out of people. I've always enjoyed getting to know someone and find out the best way to help them reach their full potential, which is one of the skills I've brought into fostering." She also believes her professional experiences help the couple think on their feet and adapt their parenting style to meet each child's individual needs. Shirley added, "I always say I've ad-libbed life. When I did presentations at work, I'd add things as I went along, always thinking on my feet, and I do the same with fostering. We had a girl come and stay with us one March. She had moved from house to house, and I wanted to put her at ease and let her know she could stay as long as she needed. I find visual aids really help, so I told her we were going to plant pumpkin seeds now and they'd be ready in October for Halloween, so she knew she'd still be with us to pick them. That really helped her to settle. Data released by ISP Fostering shows that 999 children in Hertfordshire are currently in care, and the charity warns that number is likely to increase. Shirley has found the role rewarding. She said, "One of the joys of being a parent is seeing what your children can achieve, and I want to help the children I foster to do the same. I gravitate to people that I can help, and I always want to make it right and fix it."
A care home in Hemel Hempstead is looking for new recruits for its free weekly exercise class aimed at those aged 50 and older. Social Steadies takes place at Watermill House Care Home on Rose Lane in Hemel Hempstead on Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. The group brings together residents from the care home and people aged 50 plus from the local community to provide an opportunity to socialise while also improving balance through strength exercises. The 65-bed care home provides residential nursing, specialist dementia and end-of-life care. It also provides convalescent care to adults with a range of support needs, including rehab following a stroke or amputation, paralysis, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's. According to Age UK, ageing well and living a healthy, safe and socially inclusive lifestyle is easier when steps are taken to work on our physical and mental well-being. Studies have shown that improving strength and balance can play a significant role here. Wendy Pottle made Watermill House her home in July 2023. The 85-year-old is living with Alzheimer's and is a regular member of the Social Studies Club. "I always look forward to the class," said Wendy, "and enjoy chatting to the others in the group." Bailey Lawrence, Deputy Manager at Watermill House Care Home, said, "Social Studies is a fun way for Wendy to maintain her independence while also meeting new faces from our community. It encourages Wendy to work on her strength and balance in a fun and lively environment, and we just love to see how engaged she is with the group." The exercise class is led by Elaine York, Wellbeing Lead at Watermill House and a qualified personal trainer. "The aim of the group is to have fun while getting stronger and improving balance, so there is always lots of laughter plus some singing and dancing," explained Elaine, who has more than 20 years of experience in holistic therapy. "We use equipment such as bands and Pilates balls, but also water bottles as weights and their own body weight, so that our members from the local community can continue the exercises at home. All of the exercises can be done seated or standing to accommodate everyone's fitness level and health needs. After the workout, we all head to our bistro for a well-deserved cuppa and a chance to chat and get to know each other. From leading gentle exercise classes to delivering namaste care sessions, Elaine combines fitness, aromatherapy, massage and reflexology skills to help residents keep active and fulfilled. Social Studies started as a fortnightly group but has grown so popular that it is now weekly and accommodate new members. For anyone interested in joining the group, they can just pop along on a Tuesday at 11 a.m.
Children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities, SEND, in Hemel Hempstead are set to thrive at their local nurseries, schools and colleges as Labour unveils the most ambitious and comprehensive SEND training offer ever seen in the English school system. Acting on direct feedback from Hemel Hempstead families, David Taylor MP recently conducted a local SEND survey which received over 100 responses. A key recommendation from local parents and carers was the urgent demand for better, more consistent training for teachers. Labour is now making good on the promise to deliver the reforms families are crying out for, ensuring classrooms across the constituency benefit from staff trained in supporting a wide range of needs. Under the Conservatives, training on SEND was inconsistent. As a result, almost half of primary and secondary teachers say that more training would help their confidence in supporting pupils with SEND. That's why Labour is reforming the system and giving Hemel Hempstead parents the confidence that their child can achieve at their local school. Backed by £200 million, new courses available to all teaching staff will deepen knowledge of how to adapt teaching to meet various needs, including visual impairments and speech and language challenges. Teachers will learn to use transformative assistive technology such as speech-to-text dictation tools and build awareness of additional needs among pupils. Underpinning the training will be a new expectation set out in the SEND Code of Practice, confirming that all staff in every nursery, school and college should receive training on SEND and inclusion, making sure that every teacher in Hemel Hempstead and across the country is reached.
And to continue that story, the investment forms a central pillar of Labour's plans for SEND reform, supporting those educating children from their earliest years through to age 25. The new training offer will help restore parents' confidence that their children will be supported through every stage of their education. Delivered flexibly to slot into teachers' busy schedules, the courses will promote practical skills about how to make education more inclusive, how to work effectively with parents, and how targeted support can ensure children can achieve and thrive. For Hemel Hempstead's experienced teachers and leaders, this represents a marked shift. While existing training is wrapped around those new to the workforce and those stepping up into leadership roles through initial and an early teaching training or national qualifications, there is a clear gap in support for those in post looking to build their skills further. The new training courses will help target this gap. Kicking off from next year, flexible online self-study sessions and live in-person lessons will be available to suit the needs of the busy workforce. Other key features of the training package include high-quality training materials developed alongside experts will be shared with every school and college to enable in-house training for all staff on SEND and inclusion. Investment in training for teaching assistants developed in collaboration with the sector, ensuring support staff feel equipped and confident to support all students with SEND. A new Early Years Continuing Professional Development, or CPD, programme providing free, accessible training focused on inclusive practice, child development and practical strategies for supporting children with SEND, available to all Early Years practitioners. The school's white paper will be published early this year, setting out Labour's full plans to reform the SEND system.
A major operation tackling drug gangs saw over 80 arrests made in Hertfordshire Constabulary, teamed up with eight other police forces. Over 3 days of action, between January the 13th and January the 15th, police used automatic number plate recognition, or ANPR, technology and intelligence-led tactics across key motorway routes to identify vehicles linked to serious crime. Officers made 86 arrests for offences including possession of Class A and Class B drugs, assault, theft of motor vehicle and driving offences. They also seized several weapons and knives, over £10,000 in cash, completed over 50 drug seizures, and took 59 vehicles off the road during the operation. Officers from the British Transport Police, City of London, Essex, Hampshire, Hertfordshire, Kent, the Metropolitan Police, Surrey and Thames Valley were involved in the operation, targeting county-lined gangs and criminals travelling across counties. Specialist teams involved included the Violent Crime Task Force, Tactical Firearms Officers, Dog Support Unit, Roads and Transport Policing Command and Specialist Crime Officers. Detective Superintendent Claire Smith said, "We're always working with neighbouring forces and other forces up and down the country to tackle criminals who travel into Hertfordshire causing harm. This operation demonstrates the power of collaboration. By working together across multiple forces, we've sent a clear message to criminals who exploit our road networks. You will be found and you will be brought to justice. I want to thank the forces involved for their tireless work to make sure it was a success. County lines gangs cause immense harm, exploiting vulnerable people and driving violence in our communities. By combining intelligence and resources, we've made it harder than ever for these criminals to operate. Our work doesn't stop here, and we will continue to target those who traffic drugs and weapons. You can help us with this by sharing any information about potential drug dealing taking place in the communities where you live and work. I want to thank the public across the county for the reports and information we receive daily. Your role is vital in our work and your assistance is greatly appreciated. You can report information online at heart.police.uk/report. Speak to an operator in the Force Communications Room via an online web chat or by calling the non-emergency number 101. You can stay anonymous by contacting crimestoppers-uk.org.
Conservative councillor Paula Hiscox has urged the County Council to reinstate holiday supermarket vouchers for families eligible for free school meals for the upcoming February half term. For almost 5 years, the County Council issued supermarket vouchers to struggling families during each school holiday using funding allocated to the county through the Household Support Fund, or HSF. But this year, the council's allocation from the HSF will be replaced by the Crisis Resilience Fund from April, was 12% lower than in previous years. and as a result, in September, councillors agreed that supermarket vouchers would not be issued in the October or February half terms, with no plans to continue the current voucher scheme in future. At the meeting of the Children's Social Care Cabinet Panel on Wednesday, January 21st, Councillor Hiscock said that cutting vouchers during the October and February half terms had been the wrong decision, and she called for the vouchers to be reinstated for the upcoming February school holiday. These children have no voice, and therefore it is for us to speak up for them, she told councillors. If there is no money for food during term times, hence the free school meals, how can families find that money during half term? We are asking if at least we can reinstate these vouchers for this February half term. At the meeting, councillors were told that going forward, the new Crisis Resilience Fund cannot be used for the blanket issue of holiday food vouchers for those families eligible for free school meals. And the advice from the government is that authorities now need to consider how to best support the poorest and most in need households. Director of Children's Services, Joe Fisher, told councillors that officials were already looking at ways to target access to the vouchers for those who are in crisis. But she said that if there were to be a blanket voucher scheme, it would be funded by the council.
And continuing that story, Councillor Hiscox had asked that the vouchers continue to be issued by the County Council for all holiday periods, including half terms. And in response, Executive Member for Children's Social Care, Councillor Anthony Rowlands, later said that the Conservatives could suggest how that be paid for at the upcoming budget meeting. Ultimately, it was agreed that a report regarding the plan for the new Crisis Resilience Fund would be considered at a future meeting. And it was agreed that the report would include a discussion and explanation as to whether or not half-term vouchers were included. During the debate, Labour Councillor Nigel Bell acknowledged that the new guidance may not permit the blanket provision of vouchers, and that not all families in receipt of free school meals may need crisis support every school holiday. And he said that, with this change, it was good that officers would know the best way to help and target support for low-income families facing financial shocks. Councillor Kirsty Taylor-Moran, of Green Party, suggested that she saw the voucher scheme as a sticking plaster. It's sickening to think that children going without, she said, but I don't know if having a supermarket voucher was enough to fix that in the first place. Nevertheless, she said that if it was effective, she would advocate for it to be continued. A further report on the Crisis Resilience Fund is expected to be considered by the next meeting of the Children's Social Care Cabinet Panel, which is scheduled for March the 16th.
And now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news. Now, in the information slot, we have a message from Decorum Borough Council, who say, "We've renewed our partnership with Cardo to continue repairing, maintaining, and improving our council homes. After a competitive selection process, we've awarded a new repairs and maintenance contract to our current service providers, Cardo. Cardo took over the contract 2 years ago. Since then, we've worked closely together and made several improvements to the service. This new contract will allow us to build on that progress and continue improving services for residents. Key information that you need to know. The contract start date is the 1st of July, 2026. The contract length is 5 years. The services are to include day-to-day repairs, planned maintenance, and major improvement works. And the service provider is Cardo South." Now, what this means for our tenants and leaseholders is this. First, no change into how you report repairs. You'll contact us in the same way as you do now when the contract starts. Secondly, planned service improvements. Over time, we will introduce several improvements under the new contract. These include A, community engagement events. We'll hold regular events to improve visible support and to give you opportunities to share your views on the service. B, service improvements based on your feedback. We'll use your feedback to improve service delivery, such as appointment scheduling, first-time fix rates, and sharing information about planned activity. And C, direct influence on service decisions, giving tenants the chance to help shape how services are delivered. And the third thing that this means is a focus on quality. We're committed to providing reliable, high-quality repairs and maintenance services that meet your needs. Listening to our tenants. Between now and July 2026, we will be speaking with tenants and leaseholders through our existing activities, as well as a new tenant voice panel launching in March 2026. Finally, Decorum Borough Council say, we value your views and appreciate the time you take to share your experiences with us. Your feedback helps us improve the services we provide.
The obituaries in the Gazette this week are David Baines, formerly of Hemel Hempstead, later Watford and Totton, who passed away on the 17th of December. A funeral service will take place on the Isle of Wight. David Ernest Carter of Longdean Park, Hemel Hempstead, sadly died on Sunday the 28th of December, 2025, aged 87 years. A funeral service will take place at West Harts Crematorium, North Chapel, on Friday the 6th of February 2026 at 10:30 a.m. Rosemary Elizabeth Crawford died peacefully at home on Friday the 2nd of January 2026, aged 92. A funeral service will take place at Sunnyside Church, Berkhamsted, on Wednesday the 4th of February at 1 p.m. Barbara Mary Dunham of Barnacres Road, Hemel Hempstead, passed away peacefully at home on Saturday the 10th of January 2026, aged 97 years. Funeral service will take place at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium on Wednesday the 4th of February at 1:30 p.m. Thomas Masters of Long Arrots passed away at home on Friday 12th of December 2025, aged 95. A funeral service to take place at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium on Wednesday the 18th of February at 12:30 p.m. Keith Norman of Boxmoor passed away at Watford General Hospital on Tuesday the 16th of December 2025, aged 76 years. Funeral service to take place at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium on Friday the 6th of February at 2:30 p.m. May they all rest in peace.
What's on theatre? At Denby Theatre in Tring, Hauntings, performed by Gerard Logan. An evening of free classic tales of the supernatural by M.R. James and E.F. Benson on 28th of February 2026, 7:30 p.m. Tickets from £13. Running time, Act 1, 1 hour 10 minutes. Act 2, 40 minutes. Interval, 20 minutes. Age rating suitable for ages 11 plus. Book online at denbytheatre.org.
And also at the theatre, Tina, the Tina Turner musical, is at Milton's Keynes Theatre on January the 27th to February the 7th. Set to pulse-pounding soundtrack of her hits, the show uncovers the heart and soul behind the Queen of Rock and Roll, from humble beginnings to stardom, from Nutbush, Tennessee, to her triumphant transformation into a multi-award-winning global superstar. Tina Turner didn't just break the rules, she rewrote them, winning 12 Grammy Awards in the process. Expect hits including The Best, What's Love Got to Do with It, Private Dancer, and River Deep, Mountain High. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book.
And local pantomime, it's not too late to see a panto. And before you say, oh yes it is, it really isn't, because Dick Whittington is on at Cheddington Village Hall, Thursday the 19th of February to Sunday the 22nd of February. Now see the website, which is coming up in a moment, for the performance times. It's a family pantomime and there will be a bar and refreshments available. Tickets £11 to £15. And you can book online at the website cheddingtonpanto, that's all one word, .com.
And now to music. T-Rextacy, the greatest hits tour at the Alban Arena, St Albans, on January the 30th. Mark Bolan and T-Rex were among the most flamboyant, charismatic stars of the original glam rock era, with hits including 20th Century Boy and Metal Guru. Call 01727 844488 to book. Also, Hometown Glory, Candlelit Concert, a tribute to Adele at the Alban Arena, St Albans, on January the 31st. Natalie Black's acclaimed tribute includes songs from Adele's four albums, including Set Fire to the Rain, Make You Feel My Love, Someone Like You, and I Drink Wine. Call 01727 844488 to book. Or From Gold to Rio, the greatest hits of Spandau Ballet and Duran Duran at the Eric Morecambe Centre, Harpenden, on February the 6th. Celebrate two titans of the new romantic movement with 2 hours of non-stop classics, including Gold, Rio, True, The Reflex, Through the Barricades, and Lifeline. Call 01582 767 525 to book. Or you could consider the George Harrison Project at Denby Theatre Tring on January the 30th. The special live music tribute to George Harrison features his most loved hits from the Beatles, his solo career, and the Travelling Wilburys. After his time in the Beatles, George Harrison enjoyed a successful solo career, releasing 12 studio albums, including Living in the Material World, Cloud Nine, Brainwashed, and the classic triple album, All Things Must Pass. Visit denbytheatre.org to book.
Comedy at the Old Town Hall on Friday 6th of February and Saturday 7th of February. Bound and Gagged Comedy present Russell Hicks. This time it's personal. American stand-up comedian Russell Hicks is back on tour. It's been a big year for Russell. He's appeared in multiple feature films, including Edgar Wright's The Running Man 2025. You also may have seen his phenomenally successful Dear Diary series on Instagram, which has gained millions of views. Last year's show was about his life in the UK. This year is about him. He's back, and this time it's personal. Price, £19, £17 decorum card. Duration, 95 minutes approximately, including interval. Age guidance, 16+. Book online at oldtownhall.co.uk. Telephone 228 091.
And films at the Cineworld Cinema this week include The Housemaid, a mystery thriller, Hamnet, a drama, Shelter 2026, an action film, Zootropolis 2, an animation, Marty Supreme, a drama, Avatar, Fire and Ash, an action film, 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, an action horror film, Return to Silent Hill, a horror film, Mercy 2026, an action film, Iron Lung, a horror film, Primate, a horror film, Is This Thing On, a comedy drama, Kangaroo, a comedy, Melania, a documentary drama, Nouvelle Vague, a comedy drama, Rental Family, a comedy drama, H is for Hawk, a drama, No Other Choice, a comedy drama. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And a couple of future dates for your diary. First, Tring Farmers Market is on Saturday the 14th of February in the High Street in Tring from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And secondly, Berkhamsted Farmers Market is on Saturday the 15th of February in the High Street in Berkhamsted from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hertfordshire Waste officials have drawn up cost-cutting plans that would require residents to register for an e-pass to access the county's network of recycling centres. For the past 2 years, anyone using one of the council's 16 sites has had to prove they live in Hertfordshire or that they have permission to use the service. But checks at the centres have been dependent on staff being available and, officials say, have not been consistently applied. Now, waste chiefs have drawn up plans for an e-pass system that, with the use of ANPR cameras, would immediately alert recycling centre staff if an unregistered vehicle was on the site. That would enable them to turn away those sneaking in from neighbouring authorities without a reciprocal agreement, or those seeking to dispose of business waste liable for a commercial charge. On Monday, January the 25th, the proposal was backed by a meeting of the County Council's Environment, Transport and Growth Cabinet panel. If approved by a meeting of the Council's Cabinet on February 16th, it will be introduced as soon as practically possible. Executive Member for Environment, Growth and Transport, Councillor Paul Sukowski, says the introduction of the e-pass would limit access to those who are legitimately allowed to use the recycling centres. The introduction of the e-passes would not, say officials, require users to book a slot or introduce additional restrictions. Applications for the passes, valid for 3 years, would take only a few minutes, with help available if needed.
This week in history, February the 1st, 1930, the Times published its first crossword. On this day last year, Emily in Paris star Lily Collins welcomed her first child with husband Charlie McDowell via a surrogate. February the 2nd, 2014, Oscar-winning US actor Philip Seymour Hoffman died from acute mixed drug intoxication at his New York apartment. On this day last year, Marcus Rashford joined Aston Villa on loan from Manchester United for the remainder of the season. The 27-year-old forward had also been linked with moves to AC Milan and Barcelona after falling out of favour at his boyhood club. February the 3rd, 1983, UK unemployment hit a record high of 3.22 million. On this day last year, Donald Trump agreed to a 30-day pause on his tariff threats against Mexico and Canada as America's two largest trading partners took steps to appease his concerns about border security and drug trafficking. February the 4th, 1902, Captain Charles Lindbergh, US pioneer aviator and the first to fly solo across the Atlantic, was born in Detroit. And on this day last year, the Aga Khan, spiritual leader of the world's 15 million Ismaili Muslims, died at the age of 88.
Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service have announced a new partnership starting Monday the 19th of January with independent charity Crime Stoppers to launch the Fire Stoppers service to encourage people to pass on information relating to arson and deliberate fire starting across the county. The Fire Stoppers service guarantees the anonymity of anyone who contacts it, so if you have information, you can rest assured you can speak up and stay safe. In just 2025 alone across Hertfordshire, the Fire and Rescue Service recorded over 1,000 incidents of deliberate fires. This is on top of the thousands of calls fire control manage, leading to unnecessary pressure on the service and diverting resources to incidents that could have been avoided. The new service is aimed at those who may have information about deliberate fires or individuals who may be responsible, allowing them to report them completely anonymously with no record trace back to them. Phone numbers aren't seen and IP addresses are scrambled. The initiative builds on the long-standing success of Crime Stoppers, a charity that has helped protect society from crime and has protected the anonymity of those who tell them what they know since they were established almost 40 years ago. Anyone with information can call 0800 169 5558 or visit www.firestoppersreport.co.uk.
Cats Protection would like to rehome handsome Nick, who's not only handsome but also playful and a loving lad who is approximately 1 year of age. He can be a bit nervous to begin with, so will need patience and gentle encouragement to come out of his shell. But once he gets used to new people, he'll be your friend forever. He absolutely loves to play with his toys and is quite happy for you to join in. He enjoys tickles on his terms, which usually turns into playtime. He loves a cosy lap after all the playing and is happy to curl up with you and relax. He does enjoy people company, especially ladies, and you'd be happier in a home as the only pet with adults or older children and have access to a garden once he has had his settling in period, away from main or through roads. For more information, contact the Cats Protection, Hemel Hempstead and Berkhamsted branch via cats.org.uk/Hemel-Hempstead or ring 0345 371 1851.
A senior Hertfordshire police officer is facing a misconduct hearing after he was allegedly untruthful about a personal relationship and failed to report serious safeguarding concerns. The officer, who holds superintending rank, can currently only be referred to as Officer Z after he asked for anonymity. According to a publicity notice published in advance of the misconduct hearing, he allegedly was untruthful to his line manager, who is a force executive officer and a chief superintendent, when he was asked direct questions about the circumstances surrounding a personal relationship. Officer Z also allegedly neglected to complete the appropriate procedures in relation to the same personal relationship and neglected to report or otherwise act upon serious safeguarding concerns relating to the other party in the personal relationship. The misconduct hearing, beginning on Friday, February 6th, will consider whether Officer Z's actions amount to gross misconduct and whether he broke standards of professional behaviour relating to honesty and integrity, orders and instructions, and duties and responsibilities. The chair of the hearing will make a final decision on whether to grant anonymity to Officer Z.
A reminder for those interested in sports news. On Saturday afternoon, Free Counties Radio broadcast on FM 103.8, Heart Radio are on FM 97.6, and Talk Sport are on Medium Wave 1089.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 07:44 and 16:49. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper skill," followed by "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove your Memory Stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly, turn the label over and post it back to us at Adeyfield Community Centre, The Queen Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Gary, your technician for this week.